Okay, so the band's latest album, The Clans Will Rise Again, is just released in the U.S. Can you tell us a bit more about the concepts and ideas behind this release?
Yeah, well, the new album, it went back to the classical part of the gravedigger history, and I think it was in 96, as far as I know, when Tunes of War has been released, the biggest success of the album, the biggest success of the band, and we decided to do something, or do a new album that's a little bit in the tradition of this album, so we put back some trademarks, some sound trademarks, the bagpipes, for example, we did that classical riffing. And as far as I can see, the fans liked it a lot because we got great chart entries, we got great reactions by the fans, and I hope this will be in the U.S. as well.
And since you just jumped into the band in 2009, can you tell us a bit how fast you had to, you know, like, catch up to the guys and provide some input for this release?
Yeah. The funny thing is, I know Chris Baldendorf for now 20 years, because I'm a producer and I got my own record label, I'm a publisher as well, and Chris did some work in a promotion company, and we got our path crossed many times, but we only met on the business scene, not on the musical scene. And at the end of 2009, my predecessor Manny Schmidt left the band, and Chris gave me a call, because they got some shows booked already and they have to be performed. And he asked me, Axel, can you do the rest of the year the shows, Brazil tour and some festivals here in Germany? And I said, okay, yeah, I'd like to, it's no problem. I said, okay, but the problem is you only got 3 weeks to get your whole live material. I said, oh, that's not that long time, but I'll do so. And so we put all together, all my time and all my abilities, and I had to learn the whole show material in 3 weeks. We did one rehearsal, and then we did the festivals and the stuff. And it went well, very well, much better than I expected. And at the end of the year, the band asked me if I wanted to be a permanent member, because it worked that well. And I said, yeah, I'd like to, and that's all.
And how do you feel that you contributed to the album?
Pardon?
How do you feel that, what were your main contributions to this last album?
It's fine. Because we had lots of fun while we did the compositions, while we did the recordings, and everything went well. And it's a good feeling to be in Gravedigger, because I know these guys for so many years, and I never expected that I'll be a permanent member of the band, but now as it's come to, it's great. It's a great feeling. I like it a lot.
And going a little bit more into the release, I mean, how long did it take you guys to compose and record all this, The Clans Will Rise Again?
As you might know, I got a second band. My band, Domain, used to be the mastermind for maybe 2.5 decades. And the composition or the writing process in Gravedigger is totally different. Because in Domain, for example, I do complete songs. And when I got the pre-production of the songs, I got to meet with the band and tell the guys what I think, what we can do with the songs. In Gravedigger, it's so that Chris asked me before we started, actually, can you please do only riffs, only guitar riffs? I said, okay. He said, no complete songs, no complete arrangements, just riffs. I said, okay, I'll do only riffs. You're the boss, and when the boss said just riffs, he got just riffs. So I went in my studio, and I did about 70 to 80 riffs within 1 week. And then I recorded them in front of my iMac, did some small videos for him, and I sent over to him, and then he said, okay, this one is great, that's not that good, and so he threw away 50% of the riffs, and so there were about 40 riffs left,
And then we got the ideas of Jens Becker, the bass player of the band, and Jens and I did 99% of the compositions, and Chris did all the lyrics of the complete album. And so we met two times, each time 3 days in the rehearsal studio, and the whole album has been composed within 1 week. Yes.
And how do you feel that this process has been changing? Like you said, you've been with the other band for more than 20 years. How do you feel that this process has been changing since you started doing music to now, with all the technology and all the facilities you have to, you know, record parts of songs and go back and forth?
Well, it's got its pros and its contrasts, you know. We've got some of the new recording methods are very good. I like a lot because you're independent, you can work everywhere and anywhere, and that's a good thing. The problem is that most of the young bands who only work in this way, they're doing songs like puzzles. Yeah, they don't do complete songs. They just get simple parts and put them together. And the main thing is that if you got, for example, with Chris, you got only riffs, to do a great song with a big hook and a big chorus in addition to this riff. That's the great challenge in all recordings and all songwriting, yeah? And that's the main thing. And I think it did well, because we just put the best parts together, and we remembered about the parts what would be the main thing for the success of the band. Yeah. And it was great. It was a great experience for me, and I'm pretty sure we'll work in this kind in the future again.
And do you focus more on, when you're composing, of how is it going to sound live, or you are more concerned of what you can do for it on the studio?
Well, both sides. Because if you're just working on the studio side, you do a big production, a big song, and it doesn't work live, it doesn't make any sense. So one of the parts we did when the songs have been recorded, before we're going to meet in the final recording studios, we did the complete band for 3 days in the rehearsal studio, and did a rehearsal of all of the new songs, if they're going to work out live. That's the main thing. Because Gravedigger is a live band, and if you get a great song which doesn't work in live situations, it's a bad song, if you know what I mean.
And what are your thoughts on bands that, like you said, they just focus on creating studio magic and then live they're just terrible?
Well, you know, it depends on the band. For me, recording albums in the studio and doing live albums are two totally different parts. For example, if you know, let's say Queen, yeah? They got very big, you got huge productions in the 70s and the 80s, and they got this big choir stuff, these great vocals. They never have been able to reproduce them on stage, except they used some samplers in the late period of them. But it was a great live band. It sounds totally different, but it was a great live band. But I perform the bands who are able to sound pretty similar on stage as in the studio.
And I mean, in over the years, do you think that this is something that's changing you, or you since the beginning, even when you were not recording or anything, you were set out for that purpose?
I don't think so. No, I don't think that it changed totally. It changed maybe a little bit, but not that completely.
And what about for the band's future plans? You guys have some tours next year. It's gonna be busy. And how are you guys? What are you guys thinking about all this? Are you excited about it?
Yeah, we got it. We got a full schedule for 2011, because we did, I don't know if you already noticed, we did the big show this year. We got the Wacken Open Air, and we did the 30th anniversary live show of Gravedigger, and we performed the complete Tunes of War album. And we got a lot of guest musicians. We got Hansi Kirsch of Blind Guarding. He sang together with Chris the song Rebellion. We got Doro Pesch, she did the Ballad of Mary. We got Van Canto, the a cappella guys, who did the complete backing vocals of the album. And we got a 30-man bagpipers orchestra who did the intro of the album. So it was a very big thing. You can see many snippets on YouTube, for example. And this show has been recorded for DVD, and the DVD is going to be released in 2011, in February. And before the release of the DVD, we got a Russian tour, Russian, Ukraine, and Belarus. And in March, we're going to do a European tour for about 4 or 5 weeks. And so there's a lot of work to do, and I think in summer, we're going to start the songwriting for the upcoming album.
And is there anything planned for the U.S.?
I hope so. I hope so. To be honest, I've never been in the States before, believe me. Never in private, never in business, and I'm looking forward to do some shows in the U.S. But it depends on our management, and it depends on the fans, of course, and the local promoters. But I hope so. I hope so.
And yeah, you mentioned that you guys are already, considering, thinking of the next album. Why is this pace so frantic since the last release? Since last release was last year, too.
Sorry, I didn't understand the last words. We got some connection problems.
Oh, that why do you think that the band is moving on so fast compared to previous years that you guys took a couple of years off? Not off, but in between albums, and now you're made one in 2009, 2010, and the other one might come out in 2011.
Ah, I know what you mean. Yeah, everything is doing a little faster in the last years, don't you think so? And I've always been a fan of doing that classical thing regarding doing an album, doing a tour, doing an album, doing a tour. And everybody of us got enough space to do some holidays with the families and stuff like that. And as long as this will work out, you can work well in this period. Yeah. So two years each album is not that big thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But do you think that now, because of the pace of, technology, making music so quickly available, people losing their attention span having a shorter attention span, do you think that this is one of the motivations behind releasing stuff more continuously?
Well, I don't think so. You're absolutely right. You get a music in these days a little bit more like fast food. Yeah, you don't listen that intensive to it anymore, and you as a consumer, you're able to listen anywhere, everywhere to every kind of music, legal or illegal or whatever. And but I don't think that that's the main thing for an artist, because you need some time to compose good stuff, to create good stuff, new stuff, and it depends on the time, and it depends on how your input and your output works out. And but I don't think that this depends on how fast the fans or the consumers listen to the music.
So what do you think it's more depending on?
Well, it depends on the power of the musicians. When we get enough ideas or we get good ideas within 2 years, why not doing a new album? Because that's our job, that's our profession, and I think it's fine. For me, it's fine, and as long as the rest of the guys are doing the same way, why not?
And I mean, for example,
and as long as, yeah,
Just keep going.
No, as long as the people like to buy the album, we don't do anything wrong, don't we?
And do you think that, I mean, now that you guys are in Napalm Records, how is the label treating you guys compared to, since you haven't been in the band before, but compared to other labels?
Once again, please.
Oh, okay. Well, the band is on Napalm Records, which is more known for other types of music. And how is how do you feel that the label is working for the band?
Well, yeah, Napalm Records, they're a metal label, aren't they? Yeah, they got a lot of these gothic stuff. They got a lot of middle age metal. But it's a great company. We like these guys a lot. They're working a lot for the band. They're doing a lot for the band. They're giving a lot of support for the band. So it's fine. And I can't say anything bad. It's working perfect.
And what do you guys think about in terms of promotion now that, you know, internet presence is so needed for bands to get noticed?
Internet pressing, or what did you say?
Internet promotion.
Oh, internet promotion. Yeah, of course, because the internet promotion is the part where you're going to reach the people much quicker and much faster than the traditional kind of promotion. And for me, I'm doing a lot with the Web 2.0, for example, and I'm a little bit of the webmaster of Gravedigger at the moment. I'm doing a lot of the Facebook stuff together with Chris and a lot of MySpace and Reverb Nation, and it works fine because you can inform the fans very fast everywhere on the world, and I'm doing the blogs for the band, for example, and there's a lot going on, and I like it a lot, yeah.
And how do you feel that it's compared to before, where we had to wait for, like, you know, reports of a band in a magazine every month, every couple of months? What are your opinions on how this paradigm has changed from waiting for months to, like, having it in seconds?
Yeah. One of the problems of the magazine always was they've been always too small. You know, there are so many bands. And you only got a certain number of sheets each issue, and every time I got one of these classical metal magazines, there are always some bands missing I would like to read about. And on the internet, you get the main thing is you can subscribe to blogs, you can subscribe to RSS feeds or whatever, and to always be informed whenever you like. And I think the combination of both is the real thing, because if you got both, you can decide what you take to your brain and not only depend on print stuff, not only depend on the internet stuff, because the print stuff got some good parts as well as the internet. For me, it's a combination of both.
And do you think that now that you guys have access to hundreds of reviews, like as soon as the album comes out a little bit before, do you guys obsess about it, or you just read them and just say, oh, whatever? What is your approach on it, you personally?
Well, as far as I can see, 90% of all of our reviews are very good reviews. So it looks like that most of the journalists and everybody who listens to the record think or feel that it's a good part. And the main thing, of course, is that the fans are going to like the album. But if the journalists are going to like the album as well, it's the best of both sides, isn't it?
And I mean, and you personally, since you've been involved a lot in the music industry, how do you see this whole paradigm shifting from, you know, selling records to making a bigger profit before, I guess, selling records to now with all the piracy, but also there's all these different means of distribution?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question, because to be honest, most of the internet is a real good thing. So I think for me as a man on both sides, on the business side and on the artist side, I think it's about 60-40 or maybe 70-30. So 60% are absolutely great, and I love it a lot to get in contact with the fans, a direct contract. You can do, if you want to do it in a real direct contract, you can do a chat as well. This would be, or this haven't been available in all these years, so if somebody got a question, so he can write an email. But the big problem is the illegal download stuff. It's absolutely horrible. As far as I can see, even the U.S. got a very restrictive laws, and I think as far as I can see, it works well. But here in Europe, we still got some horrible situation. For example, in Russia, where we got these illegal download servers, and nobody's able to shut them down. We got a totally different kind of culture at the moment. For example, a friend of mine, he did a show last week in a club, in a small club. He did a support for a band from Canada. I'm not sure about that. After the show, he went to the audience and he had some nice talks with the girls and boys and whatever, and one of the girls said, "Oh, it was a great show." Excellent. I said, "Oh, great. By the way, we got a new album out. It's on the merchandise booth over there. Yeah, it's about 13 euros or whatever." And she said, Oh, no, thank you. A girlfriend of mine is downloading it. But I like to be one of the shows one more time. Maybe." Talking to the artist right in the face, right in his face, and saying, I'm not interested. A friend of mine is going to download your album. And they're not aware of what they're doing. Yeah, that's an illegal, it's a crime for an artist. It's definitely horrible. So this is unbelievable. And it killed a lot of music, and a lot of my colleagues broke down with these situations, and they gave up and they went back to their former jobs or whatever. And that's definitely horrible. And in the end, this will kill all kind of creativity and all kind of music. But the people are not aware of this, and there are just a few people out there who are aware of what they're doing, and that doing music is a great thing and it's a lot of obsession and everything, but it's a job as well, and somebody has to pay the rent and somebody has to do all the other stuff. And if this breaks down, and it's pretty close to that, the complete music is breaking down. Yeah? And we'll see what happens, but all in all, I love the internet a lot.
Do you download anything illegally?
Illegal downloads, me?
Yeah.
Or what? Never. No, never. Believe me. To be honest, I'm just of the download guys. I buy more albums in iTunes or MusicLoad or whatever these platforms are and less CDs in the last years. But I never downloaded any illegal stuff.
And just shifting a little bit back to Gravedigger, what do you think are the band's future plans? You guys want to be around for another 15, 20 years? You never know.
Yeah, well, it depends on two parts, I think. It depends on the fans. Of course, every artist is giving this answer. Yeah? As long as the people like to see us and as long as the people like to hear us, we're going to be blah, 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 blah. Yes, of course. The second part is it depends on the health of the single musicians. Yeah, but at the moment the band is really, yeah, they're burning. You know, we got not a second wind, maybe a third wind at the moment. And everything is fine. We got a lot of energy. We got a great record out, and we got a great tour in front of us. It's great, and I'm pretty sure if it works out this way for some years, maybe we can do one more decade. Why not? A decade.
And is there anything in particular that you want to tell the U.S. and North American audience that's going to be listening to this interview?
Yeah, well, maybe one thing it's always on my mind is if so many people... Always interested in telling you what's good and what's right, yeah, and what good music, what bad music, or whatever. To be honest, I think you have to give a shit about these guys. Only listen to the music you like, and listen to all kind of music. Got your own opinion, what's good and what's wrong, but only your own opinion. Don't listen to other people. Let they do their way, but listen to the things you like and don't care about the opinions of other people regarding music.